Hi, and welcome to the Third Space. I'm here to warn you about Kevin Weir and Jeremy Verkley. They say a lot of things during this podcast. They research none of them. They have no idea if anything they say is true or not, and you should not listen to them under any circumstances. Also, if there are any small children about to listen, be warned, there is foul language about birds in this podcast. You have been warned.
It was described to me that I should cook.
Yeah. I cooked this morning.
What'd you cook?
I cooked some Kraft dinner,
but I
did some substitutions. I added chopped spinach.
All right.
Into it, and then instead of adding like margarine and milk,
yeah.
I put in sun-dried tomato pesto, and then I mixed the cheese sauce in with that. It's pretty good.
That's not exactly Kraft dinner, then. It's not exactly mac and cheese.
Not mac and cheese.
There was mac.
There was macaroni and there's cheese.
The cheese was befouled by pesto.
By delicious pesto, if I might add.
Befouled by his pesto.
I'm pretty sure it's healthier to do that way.
Everybody sells some mac and cheese. Substitute the mac for bread and the cheese for peanut. I made a peanut butter sandwich.
No, see. It's still sort of mac and cheese because it still resembles that. I still used all the mac and cheese ingredients. I just added stuff and didn't do the bonding.
Fair enough.
There was no bonding
yeah.
of milk and margarine.
The reason I want to talk about this is because I had to explain to my family, like, they're like, you can take like cooking classes, and I'm like, no, the problem is I don't know how to cook. Like I know how to cook.
Yeah.
I can even figure out what to cook.
The problem is you don't understand the taste.
No, I just don't care. Yes, also, I just don't care.
That's fair.
Like, if I can get all my nutrients from just a decent tasting, like, paste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I eat the paste, and then I go have a burger or
what
something.
What constitutes a decent tasting paste, though?
One that I won't throw up after.
So, basically anything that is eatable.
Yeah, yes. Anything that is edible, I will.
No, eatable.
Sorry.
Edible means you can eat it. Eatable means that you're not going to feel gross doing so.
I don't think Merriam-Webster would sign off on that.
Yeah, well, Merriam-Webster can bite my shiny metal ass.
All right, Bender, settle down for a second. I'm just talking about food here. essentially, the point it's coming down to is I'm going to make just tacos in a jar.
Well, tacos in a jar? Why not just tacos in a bag?
Well,
get to eat Doritos, no, Kevin.
That's what it is. That's essentially what it is. My basic point is that
I'm just saying, why are you adding that extra step of getting a jar?
Well, no, let me explain. The reason that I don't really like cooking much is because I feel like it's a waste of time. I can get the same stuff out of just, like, I don't know, making a sandwich. And that takes me, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you spend half an hour on something. So the agreement I made with my sister...
Yes.
Was that if I could...
Now it's on public record.
That if I could make... And if she could help me make food... that would take me half an hour on Sunday, and that would be my dinners for the week. I would do that because that is efficient. That is half an hour on one day.
Yeah.
And that's
just make a huge batch.
Yeah. And the idea is that what I do is I just make it like a huge batch of like, you know, taco fixings. Like, you got lettuce and you got cheese and you got those things. And I just put them in like a jar.
Oh, okay. So you're storing them over time. That's why you need the jar.
It's right there in a jar.
Yeah. And not a bag.
Then when the food time comes around...
Food time.
Yes. Good food time. It's when food is eaten.
It's when food is...
I just pop that jar open.
Can we do a commercial for that?
I think we just did. I pop the top open.
Yeah.
And then I take myself, I don't know, could be Doritos, could be any other sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I put it in.
And you shake up the jar.
I shake it up. There you go.
Yeah.
Taco in a jar.
I feel like you're just making taco salads.
Sure, but it's in a jar.
Yeah.
It's...
Because you're probably not going to heat that jar up.
Hey, keep your mind open. It's a jar.
I. That's a bad joke, Kevin.
It was a very bad joke. I'm not happy about it. It just happened.
Okay, well, we don't have a topic, so.
I guess. No, we have a topic.
No, I'm leaving.
No, we can talk about stuff. Let's Jeremy.
Yes.
J-Man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about stuff.
Okay, about stuff.
Yes. Our topic this week
is durability.
Durability.
Yeah.
Now, this may seem bizarre, like as you said to me, the world has durability.
World already works that way, Kevin.
Entropy is a thing that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yep.
However, when you abstract it into things such as like video games, it gets a little bit weirder.
Yeah, so specifically we're talking about durability in the fact that something works and then all of a sudden it doesn't.
Yeah.
We're not taking the bar that tells you how close it is to breaking. Just the concept.
No, we don't have a HUD. There is like a bar. Like everything sort of has like a uses that they have.
Okay. So people can tell.
No, because you can't, because there's no HUD.
There's no user interface in real life?
You don't look at a hammer and be like, this has four more uses in it.
I don't know. I watched all the Spy Kid movies. I'm pretty sure they had interfaces.
Maybe you like when it gets... Damn you, Spy Kid. If all of life was Spy Kids, it would be even simpler, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Elijah Wood would be my friend.
That was one movie.
Yes.
For like a cameo.
And then they got tired of doing Spy Kids, so they did Sharkboy and Lava Girl. It's the same thing.
It just Spy Kids with Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez wanted to make movies for a family, so he made Spy Kids, which is a movie about a family. Antonio Banderas is the father.
Yeah. I'm Antonio Banderas. I am a super secret spy.
Danny Trejo. That's Machete.
Machete.
Machete. I worked on a movie with Danny Trejo, and he is the greatest guy in existence.
I bet he's super nice.
He is super nice, and he just loves the entire process of movie making. It doesn't matter what your job is.
Yeah.
He's like, that's really cool. And I'm like, yeah, Danny, you're like 65. You're very, very old.
Machete. If I was Danny Trejo, I would go to movie theaters where I had bit parts in the movie. As like,
you mean, so every movie he's in.
And I would go and sit in like the very back row in the back corner of the movie theater. And then as the movie went on, I would sneak behind other people and just be like, Machete,
do you like the movie? Are you Danny Trejo?
Yes.
Then creep away.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be that hard. He's in like 250 movies this year.
That's because he has the best bad guy face ever.
And all he wants to do is be in movies.
Yeah.
Like, he is like Nicolas Cage, except for a more aware. Nicolas Cage loves to be in movies, but isn't quite aware what he's doing all the time.
I think he's completely aware. I just think, here's the thing. For a normal person, you have like a 1 to 10 commitment to something.
Yeah.
Right? George Clooney is like at a 7 in most of his movies.
Yeah.
Where he's committed to playing the character.
Unless if he has Brad Pitt with him.
Yeah, unless he has Brad Pitt with him. And then it goes up to like an 8.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage doesn't have a meter. And it starts at 15. And ends at 15.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have a meter, but he does have a scale. And the scale is either you get happy Nicolas Cage or sad Nicolas Cage.
No, it's just committed. He's just committed to whatever.
Well, the problem is that like I see some Nicolas Cage. Like Nicolas Cage is always great to see in a movie.
Yeah.
But the problem is that there's some movies where he very clearly, he's not doing what you want him to do. Like Left Behind, when he was in that one, he was a plain guy. He was just sort of like, he was sad Nicolas Cage. He's like, I'm doing this movie, whatever. He's not like hamming it up. He's not doing crazy things, which is what you want from the Cage Man.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly the director was like, okay, Nicolas,
I'm taking away your cocaine.
By the way, I got super upset 2 weekends ago about Nicolas Cage.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, audience.
Let you look at your phone.
I'm not. I'm turning it to silent.
Good.
We have to have some sort of punishment because both of our phones have gone off.
That's true. Tell you what, if people tweet at us or email us a punishment that we can like showcase in the audio form.
We'll do that.
So I'm watching. I'm like, okay, I have nothing to do this weekend. It's the first time in like 3 months I have nothing to do on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So what do? I go on Netflix, and what do I see? I see National Treasure. So I watch National Treasure.
It's a great movie to watch.
It's a pretty good movie. Yeah. And then I see, Book of Secrets, National Treasure 2. So I watch National Treasure 2, right? And then I'm like, I heard about National Treasure 3.
It
probably came out.
There's no.
Right?
No.
It didn't came out. It's been in development for 9 years, and they're still planning on making it, Kevin. They're still planning on making it.
Gage is holding on.
He is. Somebody asked him like 5 months ago, and he was like, well, I know that the scripts are pretty difficult because they're all based on real historical things, so they're still working on it.
I'm assuming in the next one, I'll be stealing the gun that was used to shoot Alexander Hamilton.
No, okay, but here's the thing. In Book of Secrets,
yeah,
the president's like, check out page 47. So he does.
Oh, right.
And then at the end of the movie, he's like, hey, think you can help me about that thing on page 47? And Nicolas Cage's character is like, yes, I think I can help you with that. And then they go off and boom, credits. What's on page 47? I need to know these things, Kevin.
I don't know, like the moon landing or something?
Maybe. I don't know. But I got so upset. I was like, what else am I supposed to do today? This was going to be my day, watching all the National Treasure movies. And you took the third one away from me?
I mean, you did watch all the National Treasure movies. It's just that
there's another only one. Oh, my God.
Kevin. Oh, my God. It's the National Treasure movie. What if National Treasure 4 is them looking for National Treasure 3?
Exactly.
Yes. Hollywood. Where's Hollywood?
Quickly. I need an American historian.
We have an idea for a movie. It's called National Treasure 4. They never done National Treasure 3.
I know.
I see you're hooked already.
Nicolas Cage, if you listen to this podcast, make them make National Treasure 4.
I mean, if that doesn't happen, and
the
we'll
credits
make
can just
podcast.
Be them like fast forwarding through National Treasure 3.
And then it's Nicolas Cage playing Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
The actor who played Benjamin?
Yeah, Benjamin Gates.
Benjamin
Franklin Gates.
Right. playing Benjamin Gates. It's Nicolas Cage playing Nicolas Cage, the actor who played Benjamin Gates.
Correct.
Trying to find
the movie about Benjamin Gates.
Yes. National Treasure 3.
Yeah.
Because
he has
Treasure
amnesia.
Harder? I don't know.
National Treasure 4. Find the treasure movie.
Yes. There we go.
So anyways, durability.
Oh, right. So, I've been playing a lot of the new Zelda game on the Switch.
Breath of the Wild. Which, by the way, when you think about it, Breath of the Wild just means that person has not brushed their teeth.
No, Breath of the Wild is just the wind. It's just wind.
Okay, fire.
Wind.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay, fart.
Okay, fart.
Okay, fart.
It's fart. It's fart.
I'm pretty sure Breath of the Wild is just wind.
Okay. I guess it can be either, if you take it literally or metaphorically.
Well, if it's breath that is wild.
Whoa.
Yeah, you breathe out and it's like Jumanji.
Jumanji or Jumanji?
Are those different?
Yes.
How
Jumanji?
So?
Jumanji.
Well, yeah, but are they two different things? Or
no, it's the same thing. Just
make fun of my pronunciation.
Yeah.
Isn't it Jumanji?
No, it's Jumanji.
I feel like it's Jumanji. All right. They have a durability system in that for your weapons.
Yeah.
But there's not really, like, there's no way of telling how. You just hit with enough times and eventually it shatters.
Yeah.
And you get that with a bunch of other games that have durability systems where there's no sliding scale.
Yeah.
It's binary. Something
yeah,
works.
Yeah, it's not like your sword starts getting chipped.
Yeah. And it's not like, your knives are going to get dull. Is that? And it's. And it's binary. It is works or it is absolutely destroyed, unrepairable.
Annihilated.
Yeah, so you either it works or it's annihilated.
But I heard in Breath of the Wild, if that's what we're basing this off of.
I'm using this as an example, but continue.
Okay. I heard you can get big sticks. And if you hit people with big sticks, the big sticks will break into little sticks that you can pick up and hit people with.
I have not seen that. I've seen the sticks that you hit people with, and then they break, and they're gone.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I haven't played, so I don't know for sure, but well, I heard about that.
But you get in a lot of things. Dark Souls has weapons, but I mean, they actually have a bar.
Yeah.
But once again, we can't see that bar. So these weapons have invisible bars.
Are the bars physical?
Huh?
Are the bars physical?
No.
Are they metaphysical?
HUDs!
I know, but you're saying they exist. We just can't perceive them, right?
What? No.
That's what you're saying.
No, they're metaphysical. There's a count with the... What are you talking about?
Okay, so you're saying that if durability was in the real world,
yeah,
something works and then it doesn't,
yeah,
eventually. And you can't tell.
No.
But there is a bar somewhere depicting that item's status to some effect.
Yeah, you know what? I'd say in the real world, there's kind of like bars for things. You just can't see them because that's just an abstraction. It's an abstraction of how together something is.
Right, but what I'm asking is, does that bar actually exist?
No.
We just can't perceive it.
No, this is about durability, about HUDs.
That's fine. I'm just asking that because otherwise...
You are wasting my life bar right now by this question.
Good. Because otherwise, scientists would eventually find that.
No. they can probably do things like they do with, like, I guess reverse carbon dating, where they're like, this stick will last you 4 hits. And you're like, huh. 1, 2, 3.
And it's a nuclear bomb, apparently.
It's a very small one.
Very poof.
Yeah, it just poofs away. Because that's the point. They have to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And this is... Everything is a durability system.
Everything.
Yeah. So... So to be clear...
Does that mean that humans have a durability system?
Yeah, that's death.
No, but...
That's a...
It's uses.
No.
Is there like...
No.
Okay, you can do 1,000 things in your life. But after those 1,000 things, that's when you croak?
No, because we're not things.
Okay, so living creatures then don't have durability.
No, they have life bars, which is a different topic.
Yeah, it's a different topic. But I'm saying in this world, we have to decide.
No, right? No, human beings
don't.
They
just age normally.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. Animals age
normally, too. Do you not know what durability is?
I do. But here's the thing. I'm trying to figure out if we're applying it as a blanket across the whole world or if it's just objects.
Well, no, it's the things that would have durability in a video game.
But you said everything.
You keep being pedantic.
That's our entire podcast, Kevin.
You're laying it on thick today.
Yeah, smooth, buttery layer.
I think it's good.
Your PB&J sandwich.
I think it's because you're not wearing your work stuff today. You're coming over in your casual clothes.
You're right, I have my cash clothes.
And you're like, I'm going to be a little bit more of a pedantic person today.
Today is the 31st birthday of pedantry.
All right, so.
So only objects.
Yes, only things that would have, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So the microphones we're using would have durability.
Yeah, and it's going down right
now. It's going down right now. Every time we talk into it.
Yeah, they could just pop
in the
middle of it.
Well, is it a session thing or is it a use thing?
No, it's a use thing.
It's a use thing.
So
okay.
Every single time it like, as
so microphones have really high durability then.
They have to because their durability goes down every time they're powered.
Okay.
Because they're constantly taking sound in, always being transferred through.
Yeah, okay, so it's like a constant drain.
Exactly. Like, you like what I would be doing if using the microphones as an example to, you know, keep them is as soon as we stop talking, I'd be like, all right, unplug them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, are we ready? We're not doing a sound test, you guys.
Ready?
Everybody, hook up.
Boop. Go. Go.
Hey, yeah. Welcome to the space.
I say everybody, like there's 4 other people here.
Yeah, everybody.
All right, sorry, guys.
Come on, Kevin. Don't be insensitive.
Our many assistants.
Do not belittle our silent partners.
they bring us many delicious things and never tell us when we're wrong.
Never tell us when we're wrong.
That's why
they're
like,
silent.
That's why I like them so much. Okay, so there are...
Okay, so the first thing, because we were on microphones.
Yeah.
So let's say there'd be a lot of like intermittent breaks in the radio when somebody's microphone just like poof.
Yeah, because you can...
I'm picturing some sort of like a giant electrical short with sparks.
I actually think it just like disintegrates.
Just say into dust.
Well, that's what happens in a lot of the games.
Yeah,
like
you're
some
right.
of them, when it breaks, you have the
like
components
the broken
of it.
Parts.
But most of them that I've seen,
that
when,
just
it,
disappears.
When it breaks, it is gone.
Yeah.
Which I would say will cut down on like garbage.
That's true. Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can people still repair things?
That's a good question. How would you? Because the way we repair things in real life, there's a crack in a wall. Yeah, you fix the crack. But now you don't see the crack. What are you going to do? You can't just like hit it with a hammer. That lowers the durability of the wall and the hammer.
Let's use the microphone again as an example.
Yeah.
You could take apart a microphone, right?
Yeah.
So you could take it apart and put components that have never been used in it before. That would probably increase the durability.
Yeah.
I guess that only works for complex machines.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think you can... You know what? You can repair, as you said, complex machines because there are components that can be replaced.
Yeah.
And I guess it would be that interesting thing that by replacing, like, small things, it pumps the durability up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, the more things you replace, the more...
Yeah. I don't know if that's more efficient than just having a bunch of disposable microphones ready.
I mean, we'd have to think about it. I would say that we would run into the problem that...
Because that does create trash.
Yeah. I was going to say that the problem we're going to run into that is that... what do you call it? Supplies? Materials would run out very, very fast.
Yeah, there's no recycling.
There's no recycling. Everything just pops.
Yeah, everything just pops off.
Well, I mean... Okay, so you have a can. You pop the top. You drink it. And then you throw in the recycling. The can actually has not run out of durability.
No.
If it gets banged around a bunch, yeah, then it'll, you know, disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe recycling, they're just like, be very, very careful. If too many of these cans disappear, they're not going to do anything.
Or maybe, Kevin, there's a way to recycle that dust that happens.
They would have to figure a way to recycle the dust. Yeah. I mean, that is just pure matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of atoms sitting there.
Well, I mean, it doesn't just – well, that's the thing. It can't just pop into dust.
How about this? When it goes into – when it is gone,
yeah,
it returns to its molecular state, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't see an atom of silicone.
No.
So it just atomizes and goes out. So all that matter is still there. The bonds that keep it together have just expired.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
What does that mean?
And then what that means is that matter doesn't actually disappear.
Because it can't.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? It just, the energy that is holding it together dissipates.
So it just like puffs up into all the
It just
the
atomizes. So all that stuff's still there, and you could theoretically collect the atoms.
Yeah.
Right?
And they'll re-enter, I guess, the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then because this is a natural process of the world, there would be some other thing by which they regain the ability to bond with other atoms.
Yeah, clearly, because the world can't just like self-destruct that way.
No, it can't. We're not making just a world that is full entropy all the time and matter's just constantly being destroyed.
No. No, we're just talking about a world that has durability.
Well, okay, question.
Yeah.
Does it atomize or does it turn into pure energy?
Okay, well, one of those is a bomb.
Yep.
And no.
This is why I'm asking.
No. Well, I mean, it looks like a small detonation.
Okay, so maybe some of it turns into energy.
Yeah, we're not talking about an atomic style.
We're not talking about atomic weaponry?
No. But, like, there's a little bit of a spectacle, because so it goes, poof.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is the small amount of energy just sort of, like, puffing out.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then, it does not turn into pure... No, your microphone will not turn into a being of pure light. It's going to microphone heaven.
Where the gain is always perfect. And there's never any feedback. Sweet God bless microphone heaven.
Sweet microphone jokes. Okay. So this world can subsist in just a weirder way.
Yeah.
I think that recycling will be there. As much as they can try to do it.
Well, if you have a can,
yeah,
your options are either recycle the can into its base components or hit it enough so that it dissipates and returns to its aluminum molecular state.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the thing, isn't it? Is that when you're recycling something, you have to like crush it and do all those things.
Yeah, I guess.
That wears out the durability. So they probably just put it into like a facility and be like, all right, and they like atomize.
I guess if they make it a closed system, like a sealed system,
yeah,
and they only have aluminum in there,
yeah,
It'll just come out eventually as the aluminum block.
I didn't realize how much this topic would have us talking about science that I don't think either of us fully understand.
Well, I don't, but we're making assumptions.
Yeah, sure. This is the hey, you can't prove us wrong. This is the way that our world works.
Exactly.
Maybe atoms work differently.
Hi, Adam.
I work differently here.
I work differently.
Good job, Adam. Now get back to work.
I'm working right now.
Ah. Very clever, Adam. Very, clever, very, Adam. Very clever. And then he just poofs away.
Yeah.
Ah, he was a robot. I mean, you can't make robots. Robots have durability.
Yeah. I guess you don't really have to worry about, like, an AI rising up to take control of the world.
Because they have durability, yeah. And you don't.
And you don't.
Yeah. Even if you just plink away at them, they'll eventually just poof.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do to them.
All right.
Okay, so how would this make the world different? I think right away, the first thing that comes into my mind is that, like, manufacturing, you really need to get quality over, like, quantity. Like, you don't want to go to Walmart and get a $10 hoodie because that's not going to last you all winter.
No. No, that'll last you, like, 3 days unless if you, like, trip and fall.
Yeah.
Then it's going to just puff apart.
Yeah, and every single time you wash your clothes, durability is going down there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it gets all beaten up.
Because the way to remove stains is to get that stain's durability down. So what would happen is that it is far more likely for one piece of someone's clothing to just disappear during the day.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to have backups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, walking around and then somebody all of a sudden stops and looks surprised, their underwear just atomized.
And it feels weird.
They're not used to going commando. That's why layers are so important.
Never get a layer up in case one of your layers just disappears.
Yeah. Like, somebody's at the gym, they're on the treadmill, all of a sudden, poof, sports bra, atomized. Not so comfortable anymore.
Just stop and walk back to the locker room.
Get another sports bra.
I would say that we have this interesting thing that consuming would go up, but as I said earlier, refuse would go down.
Yeah.
Because you would have to go through more things just purely because they just disappear.
And yeah.
It's tough to fix a lot of them.
Well, here's the thing. You can fix complex machines.
Yeah.
Right?
If you keep up on it, if you're not careful, yeah. It's going to puff and disappear.
It's going to puff and disappear.
You're going to puff out. All right, settle down, Adam.
How did we become Welsh?
It's all consonants.
Yeah.
So
you have to be very careful with clothing, especially in cold climates.
Yeah. Those are probably things that, like, you know, affect the durability a little bit more. If it's too cold.
Yeah, well, I think it probably depends on the material.
Yeah.
The thing is, materials would still, like, wood versus fire, bad. Durability of wood goes down fast versus fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Wood versus water, durability still goes down.
Yeah, but not as fast.
Not as bad as fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Water can't have durability. I mean, each individual molecule could have durability, but I think the problem is that, like, water replaces itself too fast for durability to really affect it.
Well, it's... Okay, you're in the ocean and, like, the water is atomizing, but it's not the whole ocean at once.
No.
The ocean could.
How could the ocean atomize?
Well, because it's all connected. Like, fluids are weird in that it's all connected, right?
Yeah.
But, like, it's a very simple molecular bond. So it would recreate itself very quickly. But the thing is, it has such a ridiculously large durability bar because there's so much of it.
Yeah.
Right?
They all connect together.
That when it's going to happen eventually, nobody knows. It's like the super volcano beneath like Yellowstone.
So you think that someday the ocean is just...
Someday the ocean is going to atomize.
Well,
water will reform with it.
Well, see, the thing that I...
Pretty quickly, but in that moment that it atomizes, it's going to fuck shit up, Kevin.
You see, I was thinking that every time it rains, it quote-unquote repairs.
Oh, you're right.
Because
you're
it's
right.
Getting...
That would repair it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I honestly don't think there's any way to, like, make water run out of durability because it's constantly repairing itself.
Yeah, you're right. There's a cycle. There's sort of water cycle here.
Yes. Tell me more, David Suzuki. Tell me about the water cycle.
Well, first, there are clouds in the sky.
I once watched a David Suzuki documentary, and one of the things he did in school.
Yeah.
And it started out with the most hardcore, like, flying through atoms, which become a flower, which turns into a bird, and the bird comes down. Dave Suzuki walks out and, like, plucks the bird out of the air. Then the bird turns into, like, a rock, and then the rock turns into a diamond. And I'm like, whoa, science!
That's a pretty cool intro.
Yeah. And I want our intros to be more like that.
Great. Too bad. This is not a visual medium.
Okay, just for the... All right. You can listen to this podcast, but first go to this website.
Maybe for our live shows we can do something like that. I just thought of something, Kevin.
What?
Art. Preservation of art becomes a whole different thing.
Yeah. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. You can look at it.
Yeah.
Like, framing stuff becomes very important. But here's the thing. How do you hold your frames up? With nails. And the longer it hangs on the nail, the more likely that nail is to disintegrate.
Well, I think you'd... Yeah, I guess it's because the nail's being used.
Yeah.
I think the best way to do it is you put it on some sort of, like, ledge, and then you just, like, replace the ledge every so often.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it's going to be... Well, here's the thing that...
Museums get even more meticulous, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you have to stand, like, 10 meters back, or, like, a kilometer back. You got yourself a telescope being like, the Mona Lisa looking good.
That smile.
That's how people talk in museums.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Sculpture's kind of weird now.
Yeah, no. Sculptures don't exist.
They don't exist.
How can you do... Well, you'd have to, like...
Because you should still be able to carve things.
Yeah. No. Yeah, fair enough. But if you don't get yourself, like, a good, solid rock, you're going to be like, I'm almost done. Then you're going to do that hit, and the entire thing's going to atomize.
Yeah, I guess if you make a mistake, there's no, like, redoing part of it. The whole thing just atomizes.
Well, no, I think, once again, like there's the durability of the rock.
Yeah.
And as you chip away at it, you're chipping away some of the durability. So essentially you want to be like, I want to do as much of this rock as I can without taking away all its durability.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you still break things?
Like, in what way?
Like, if you have a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah.
And you snap it in half.
Yeah.
Does that affect the Kit Kat bar's durability?
I mean, yeah.
So it does, but you can break it.
I think they would have to make... I think here's the thing. You don't want a candy that breaks. You want things that you can pop in your mouth and eat.
But chewing is breaking.
Yeah, yeah. And then it atomizes and it goes into yourself and you have
to...
So
you're saying that humans have the ability to process atomized nutrients.
Sure, why not? I mean,
then everything is food, Kevin.
This solves
the, like, pop can problem, because you drink the drink and your stomach atomizes it, and then you just, like, beat up the can and put it in your mouth, and that atomizes too.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's how this world works.
Okay.
You're eating everything.
I mean, I guess you probably wouldn't want to do that with aluminum because you get aluminum poisoning, but...
You want to be very careful what atoms you're inhaling.
What atoms you're inhaling. Oh, man, atom pollution would be a huge thing.
Is that a... Yeah, sure.
Because there would be things that are breaking that the human body isn't equipped to actually process, right?
I'm so upset how much science is coming out. I'm so upset.
We're having a discussion, Kevin. It just so happens science is in it.
But every time we talk about science too much, I'm like, I don't. I'm to atom stuff. Can we go to commercial?
I don't know what time is it in our recording.
Let's go to commercial.
I don't want to unless it's the time.
Let's go to commercial.
I'm staying right here in the moment.
Well,
not in commercial.
And you can stay
still
there.
Still not in commercial.
And I'll go to commercial.
Okay, you go to commercial. I'll be right here talking to myself about atoms and aluminum poisoning. Oh, man. No steak fry pans. They have aluminum in them. This week's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by Citrus Zest, for when you just need a little extra flavor on whatever the heck you're making.
Yeah, grab yourself a lemon, grab yourself a lime, Get a little bit of the zest off the side.
Maybe you want some grapefruit.
I mean, yeah, who knows?
Zest the grapefruit.
Yeah, yeah, get some zest and things.
Yeah, get some orange in there.
Yeah, fill up a...
some mandarin.
Fill up a cup. Get yourself some zest in that cup.
Yeah.
Take the cup down. Tastes terrible.
Don't eat the zest.
Don't eat just the zest.
Don't eat just the zest. Don't it's just an zest. Additive.
Yeah, yeah, please.
It adds a little light flavor.
Yes.
Don't eat just the zest.
But it is a zesty.
A zesty meal.
There's an interesting thing about this world on like a psychological sense in the fact that people would not be as attached to things.
You can't be.
Well, like the idea of nostalgia or I've had this there's my dad's pocket watch and his dad's pocket watch and I've had this.
Have you been replacing the components all this time?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's the question of, you have a boat.
I have a boat.
That boat sails.
That boat is sailing. Am I on the boat?
Sometimes you're on the boat, sometimes you're not on the boat, sometimes T-Pain's there. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're on the, but you sail, and then you get something, then the boat gets damaged, so you replace that part of the boat, and then another part gets damaged, and you slowly.
No. No parts get damaged.
No parts of the boat get damaged. I'm back into the real world.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is a hypothetical outside of our current hypothetical and a different hypothetical.
Okay, gotcha. Hit me with your hypothetical. Yeah,
so the boat gets damaged, it's a common thing. And then you're replacing it. At which point is that boat no longer the boat you had?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
But maybe that sort of perspective changes, right?
Yeah. Like maybe the idea in this world
probably
is that
an heirloom like that pocket watch
becomes
more about the work that the generations of your family have put in to keep it
exactly
rather than the object itself.
Yeah. So it could even be a thing that the stuff that is still around that is old is so much more reverence around it because people actually had to like upkeep it. People
there's an upkeep to everything basically. Yeah.
I mean, there's even things where, like, maybe when we're talking about paintings or sculptures.
Just somebody repainting the Mona Lisa.
Well, someone has to come in and, like, update the paint, and that kind of, like, resets the durability.
Yeah.
It's something that probably people figured out. It's like, hey, if we go back in here and like, repaint over some of these lines, it lasts for longer.
Also, I figured out a way you could do sculpture.
Okay.
You take tiny pieces and glue them together.
Yeah, you could do it reverse. You do it in the reverse way. Yeah. That's how sculpture would be, because you can't exactly knock it down, but you can build it up.
Yep.
Yeah, no, yeah, perfect. There you go. Sculpture. And because each individual piece is an individual thing, they also maybe have different durabilities.
I think once something becomes a whole thing, it like not every part of this microphone has its own durability. The microphone has a durability.
Yeah.
Right? And it's made of different parts, so I think that would apply to that as well.
It would be an interesting thing that like because we talk about in a lot of these worlds, the feel of things is very, very important.
Yeah.
So maybe like when this goes, the microphone goes, maybe the mount goes and the stand goes, but the cord, because it's just a connector, stays.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, I think just the microphone would go. The stand would still be here, but the stand has its own durability.
Yeah, the stand.
So you could also just be recording, and then the stand goes, and it's like, bump.
And just catch the microphone.
Like, I feel like this world is full of Three Stooges moments.
as things just, like, collapse around you.
Yeah. Oh. Like, you're walking, right? It's this hot, sunny day you're walking.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your shoes run out of durability, and your feet touch scalding concrete.
Yeah. And someone tries to poke you in the eyes and you catch it. it's one of those things.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about small things.
You're playing volleyball and you hit that volleyball up and the volleyball just disappears.
That volleyball just atomizes on your hand.
Yeah, it's a Charlie Brown moment.
That'd be a great thing in sports, like baseball.
Ugh, I just thought of a bad one.
Oh, what?
You're having sex, safe sex, of course, with a condom, but then the condom runs out of durability. I mean, that's the same thing as a condom breaking, well, but it's a little different.
Well, Jeremy, now normally condoms come in packages and are one use.
That's true.
So maybe condoms are made to last for, I don't know, 24 hours of pounding.
Whoa, Kevin, are you telling me you have full day marathons of pounding?
No, but I'm saying that way it is safe.
Okay.
Because who would
sting?
Sting is not having constant sex during that time. And also, I'm reasonably sure Sting doesn't use a condom.
That's fair.
Probably because he's like, nah, I use my mind to stop my semen from going anywhere.
That's, whoa. I'm Sting.
I'm Sting.
You don't have to put on a red light.
It's called tantric. It's weird. No, that's not how, that would not happen in sex because the condom.
You're right, they would make them to last.
Yeah, because you're not just being like, ah, well, I want to be careful, this condom might break next time. Next time.
But here's the thing.
But on
condoms are very weak to pins.
Yes, no, anything, well, that's the thing, anything that can tear or do that just, like, takes away the durability. That's why, like, if you took, like, a stick and broke it over your knee.
Yeah.
You would break it. Like, impact matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's a basic thing where it's like, oh, hit.
Well,
break.
It's like in Original Sin Divinity.
Yeah.
The game that came out, you use your weapons to hit people with. They have durability.
Yeah.
You can also use your weapons to break into chests and doors.
And that takes away more durability.
Because it's not what they're meant for.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. So it works kind of like that.
Yeah. Very intuitive.
If you use your sword for sex... It'll break very fast.
It'll break very fast.
Because that's
unless it's the rare sex sword.
The rarest sex sword.
The rare sex sword.
What's the name of this sex sword? Because we name our swords here. I was going to call it the Penetrator.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's really, really long.
I was thinking,
and weirdly thin.
I was thinking the Dildonator.
Dildopolis.
Dildopolis.
All I got to do is repeat the word Dildophinus. Okay. So what are we talking about? Oh, yeah, I want to go to big things. Because do you know what else has durability? Buildings.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't really want to build a skyscraper.
You would not want to. But the thing is that you can if the idea is that replacing few things makes – like the whole a lot stronger.
Well, I think you have to replace everything at some point.
Well, in what way?
Well, let's go back to the microphone as the example, right? A microphone has lots of parts.
Yeah.
But you might know which parts are more fragile, right?
Yeah.
Like just by looking at something, you can tell which parts are more fragile usually.
Yeah.
So those are the parts you need to replace often. A case of the microphone is actually the most durable thing.
Yeah.
But you will have to replace it eventually.
Well, but will you? Because replacing the other things increase the durability of the whole.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, it becomes worth it to replace it, right?
I imagine that, like, the bigger thing you replace, the more durability you're healing.
That's fair.
Like, if you're replacing those very small, fragile things, you're only adding on, like, maybe a few minutes, maybe an hour to it. But, like, you replace the chassis it's in.
Yeah,
and you're adding in, like, I don't know.
Well, the chassis protects everything inside,
right? Yeah, and are you replacing the chassis? Are you putting all the components in another chassis? That's the question you're having there.
I guess it depends if the chassis you're putting them into is new or not.
You're kind of doing
both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So buildings would have to have removable walls.
That you can replace.
That you could replace.
Like, they would have to be built with the idea.
Because you can't just do small repairs. That wouldn't really help. Yeah.
They would have to be built with the idea that you'd have to be going in and doing maintenance.
Yeah.
And not just on some of the components, on the infrastructure. The infrastructure has to be maintained, things that are built into the concrete. You need to go in.
There are a lot more plumbers and electricians in this world.
I'm wondering if buildings are built with, like, certain faults in them, with the idea being is that...
Something that's easy to replace...
Yeah.
That you can just constantly replace.
Yeah, because if you build something that's, like, you know, solid and, like, oh, nothing's going to come off of this, then the problem is that you can't fix it and it's going to...
But it will last a long time.
It'll last a long time, but you cannot repair it.
Yeah.
So you would not want to do that with a building.
No.
Maybe there's buildings made in, like, the 70s that were built that way, and, like, just now they're figuring out, these buildings are atomizing. We need to get them back up to code. You know, like in the 70s. I mean,
there'd probably be some era where they were building like that. They're like, no, we'll just build it really good and it will last for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a one-floor building so no one can fall to their death.
Well, it's like asbestos.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing, it took me a long time to understand what that was when I was younger. I'm like, so it's like a mold type thing? It's like, no.
It's insulation.
It's something we put in the walls and realized this is bad.
Yeah.
We built a lot of a country putting asbestos in the walls, then went, oh shit, this kills people?
What?
We fucked up.
Sorry.
Our bad. We'll go around, tell you this is best.
It's okay. I'll tell you what, I'll take the insulation out for free, and I'll paint your walls. I have this sweet lead paint.
Because I... oh, shit!
Not again!
Oh, me.
Adam.
Wah-wah, Adam. Because, like, I heard a lot watching, like, home reno shows or, like, house hunting shows. And they
Yeah, Mike Holmes.
Yeah, they don't always have the scene where, like, the music gets super dark, someone would be like, we found asbestos. And I'm like, so, like, that's, like, a molder thing. And, like, no, really what they mean is, like, yeah, someone built this house with asbestos in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how it got there.
I didn't put it there.
We didn't do this. Someone must have snuck in, put asbestos in your walls. What? Crazy. What?
Crazy.
Humans are dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when doctors told people to smoke cigarettes?
One of my favorite quotes, Kevin,
yeah,
is a person is smart. People are stupid.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that quote. All right, so back to durability. So
yeah.
You'd want your things to be made with a way that you can, like, I said, get in and change them. Like, the Apple way of making products would be the absolute worst, though Apple will still probably be doing it.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, maybe they make their phones that will only last 6 months just in time for the new Apple phone to come out.
Just in time for the new phone.
In fact, maybe they're so scientific, they know that every phone they put out will, in fact, atomize on the launch date
of their next one.
come and get the iPhone 8. And you can come get it, and you'll be like, well, my iPhone 7.5 still works. I don't see why.
Oh.
I guess it's better you'll get an iPhone 8.
I think everything, similarly to video games, it becomes better if everything is modifiable.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you're playing the current Mass Effect game, you can add mods to your guns.
You could do them in the other ones?
In the first one, I think.
Or am I thinking of other games?
Either way, you understand what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So everything should have parts that can be removed and replaced with different parts, like universal connections to things, because it just becomes way more valuable to do that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, because then the idea is that by them still being separate parts, then they can help you, like, when the thing breaks, you're like, oh, I still have this part.
No, not even, like, because while it's all connected, it has one durability bar, right?
Yeah.
But let's say, what's something that is a good example that normally wouldn't have that? Let's say a table.
All right, yeah.
Right? So the table, instead of it being just one big piece and kind of difficult to take apart,
yeah,
right? They just have, like, if you lift up the table and move the leg a certain way, it'll snap off and you can put a new leg in.
Okay, so you don't necessarily mean modifiable in the sense that, like, you add a laser sight to your leg.
No.
You mean modifiable in the sense that they're a lot more like an IKEA set that is meant that, like, when it comes together, it's a bunch of those things.
Yeah.
You put them together, but then you can take off one leg, put another leg on, and maybe it'll be a little bit more stylish, who knows? But the point is, by doing that, you add durability to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that is basically any object you want to, like, for the convenience of your place.
Well, especially in, like, cars. Like, maybe going in for an oil change is so much more important because it also raises the durability of the car.
Yeah, well, oil change, you change the filter, you change the, the air filter, you do a tire rotation.
Not only are those good things, they raise the durability of your car.
They raise the durability of your car.
Maybe they have a scientific way of being like, your car's getting low in durability.
Yeah.
Because once again, no bars, we talked about this for a long time.
But people would know,
because
they would test. Like, it might not be a super scientific way, but they'll be like, okay, we have this frame. It's made out of carbon fiber. Let's test how much, like,
strain it can take
exactly, before we put this out, and then people will know how long it will last.
There's a thing in a lot of games where just before something's about to break, it starts flashing red. Do Do you think that happens?
I don't think all objects strobe, Kevin.
Maybe there's a way you can make them. Like once the energy in the atom starts to, like,
I guess the
waver,
once that starts dissipating, yeah.
It just starts, like, shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's almost imperceptible, but you're like, hey, is your car shaking?
Here's the thing. It's really important, actually, to be able to, like, repair and improve the durability.
Yeah.
Because, like I said earlier, with the poisoning from the atoms that humans aren't supposed to ingest, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you take, you're like, okay, well, this table leg I'm going to replace, and then you take the used table leg and you recycle it.
Yeah.
Right? When that breaks down.
Like someone just beating it against something.
Yeah,
until
but if it's in a closed circuit, then, you know, they can separate the elements and actually reuse it.
Sure they can, yeah.
Right? But otherwise it gets, like, in the air.
Yeah.
So it becomes the maintenance of your things. If you don't do it,
yeah,
you're very irresponsible.
Yeah, it's like a new form of air pollution.
Yeah.
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 When a car pops.
So basically what I'm saying is baby boomers would never, like, repair their shit. They just wait for it to atomize and go off.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to be dead. I don't care. when a car pops, does everything in it pop?
Yeah, I think so. It's all one object,
boy,
right?
That would suck.
It would.
Your car.
And it would only happen while people were driving.
Your car. Or, like, you're looking at your car and, like, a bird lands on it. Like, it's so close to being a bird lands on
and
it.
You're like, oh, shit, I'm so glad I stopped.
And it, like, it pops and, like, oh, man, I have my wallet in there.
Well, I mean, the loose objects would fall to the ground, I think.
Okay, so, well, I was asking, like, it would pop and then just, like, gasoline would just pour Bush. Over the ground. Oil just, like, everywhere.
I guess, so trading in your car is way more important.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, that's a lot of waste going into the air.
Man, God, it's so weird. Like, you like, imagine the things that you just see, like, when there's a car that's been sitting on the side of the road for weeks. And you're like, car's going to pop soon.
Yeah.
And, like, as you're driving by, all you see is, like, you're like, oh, car's gone.
And you're like, oh, shit. You know what might happen, actually?
You can't just leave a car that says for sale on it, because eventually that car is just going to, like, disappear.
You know what might happen?
What?
People might build things in different creative ways. So, like, let me lay down a theory for you.
All right.
Trees grow around things.
Yeah.
Right? There's proof of concept of that.
Yeah.
So if you have a tree and you manage to put something in it so it grows around that and creates a compartment.
Yeah.
Eventually that thing in the tree, because it's an object, is going to pop. But the tree itself is alive. So it won't.
No, it will not pop.
So you can create a more permanent form of shelter by using live living things as your shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. Like trees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that, you definitely would see that.
We would have elf cities.
We would have. I mean, yeah, why not? Because that's something we'd be doing.
Yep.
You'd be like, this is like you know.
And they'd be crossbreeding trees to try and make better ones.
Our old ancestors would be like, interesting. I noticed that when this tree goes around, I don't know, something that you know, ancestors had, and then that durability runs out, the tree is in this shape. I wonder if I could. And the next thing you know, elf cities, living in, like, giant trees. We focusing more on growing them, and, like, you know, because they don't run out of durability.
They don't.
Yeah,
they last until they die, and then they have durability.
Yeah,
but once something dies, you're like, oh shit, I should get out of here.
The tree below us has died. The durability clock has begun.
Yeah,
we must keep moving.
We have a month to move.
No, yeah, that would be. Yeah, that'd be awesome. So then you'd have.
It seems like a logical thing that would happen.
And because we'd be doing that, we'd be going from. Because, like, a lot of the things that we do is because of what we did.
Yeah.
So, like, we built houses because we could do that. But now, because we have, like, these weird tree shaping things, people might. Like, we might be seeing more of that even, like, now.
Yep.
Because they work better than buildings do.
Yeah, you don't have the maintenance.
Yeah.
Well, the same type of maintenance. You probably have to prune and stuff.
Well, but... I mean, it's all, you have to take care of the tree.
Yeah.
You take care of the tree. The tree cares, takes care of you. Symbiosis. You're all in this together. Yeah.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, no, that's, and yeah, yeah. So that's how it works, is that people living in trees.
Yeah.
So in a world where durability exists, we're elves.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do mountains have durability?
Not the entire mountain, but rocks do.
Yeah, but...
Huh.
Because if mountains have durability, Kevin,
yeah,
that means the tectonic plates have durability.
No, you know what? I'm going to say no. We do so many things where we just say, like, no, that doesn't...
I guess it's kind of a cycle.
Yeah, well...
Because there's sediment, it goes back down into the core,
yeah,
and then reforms.
It's the same thing as that, like... You have, when you have stuff that's like constantly feeding into itself.
Yeah. If it's a cycle,
it heals.
It's fine.
It's like even if you have a cup of water, like water's coming out of that cup and going back into the cup, and like, it's a fluid. I think fluids don't have durability because they're constantly, I mean, they do, but they're
just
constantly repairing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the same thing is that with that size of a rock. Like, if you pick up a rock, that rock has durability.
Wait, okay. I have a theory.
All right.
That I think works for this.
Okay.
So, we know in the real world, not this world we're discussing now,
yeah,
that eventually the sun is going to supernova.
Yeah.
Right? But it is billions of years in the future.
Yeah.
So, maybe...
Which is why I'm so worried about it.
Yeah, we're really worried about it.
We're worried about it.
So, maybe that's what it's like for a planet, in that it does have durability...
Well, I mean, that's...
Or like a mountain. It does have durability, but it's so huge and so sturdy,
yeah,
that it's going to last hundreds of thousands of years.
Is like...
It's negligible.
Yeah, it's like past the end of the heat death of the universe.
Yeah.
Like, I mean like, once again, going real world, there is natural entropy. Like,
yeah,
there's entropy in existence. We're just talking about there's no decay, really.
Yeah, yeah. We're just skipping the decay part.
So someday... Billions upon billions upon billions of years in the future, all of a sudden, all of reality in the universe is going to go poof.
No, I mean, I think like a planet will disappear.
Well, I mean,
wait, do stars supernova?
I mean, that, do you think that's a... I mean, there's still bombs in this world, but are there bombs in this world? Or does everything to go poof, poof, poof?
I mean, you should still be able to make chemical reactions, right?
Okay, then
there's,
yes,
still chemical bonds, and you could still split an atom, so there'd still be,
yeah,
atomic.
I would say that yes, stars do still supernova.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking that like yeah, at a certain point, the universe is just going to like poof out, and then a new universe will be born out of the atoms of that universe.
I guess they'll all go to one spot.
It's the circle of life.
It's the circle.
I know
it's the circle of life.
I know it's supposed to be and I know I was...
Get out of here, O'Brien. We talked about you last episode.
I was kind of doing Lion King, but I wanted it to be cycle instead of circle. I probably should have just said circle.
Yeah, you could have said
it's
cycle.
It's the circle of life.
And it moves us soul. Through despair, yeah, and hope. Through faith and love,
the circle of life.
That's the rest of this. That's it. We're done, right? That's the end of the
podcast.
If
you like that episode.
Yes, perfect.
Give it a like, a review, subscription, tell your friends.
On iTunes.
Yeah, or wherever you can find it.
Yeah, wherever you find it.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your frenemies.
Tell everyone. Scream it from the rooftops.
Scream it from the rooftops like you too.
Be like you too.
Don't be like you too.
With the glasses that Bono wears.
Yeah.
Be like,
they go poof eventually.
Be like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Be like Flea.
Yeah, be like Flea. He's a good role model. He's passionate about what he does.
He voices nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diablo Swing Orchestra.
Yeah, no, man, put that right up there. I think that's all we have to say, though.
Now you can tweet at us.
Oh, yeah. Yo, right. Yeah, we're contactable.
You can contact us.
Yeah.
For some reason you want to after
doing
all
this
these
all
months.
Out of order. This is crazy.
Yeah, you can reach me at Mighty Thews.
Yeah, you can reach me at Strongman K Weir.
Or you can reach both of us at Third Space Cast.
It was backwards. You can send us an email or at thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can visit our website at thirdspacepodcast.com.
Yeah.
You can check out Kevin's other projects there as well.
Yeah, there's also all sorts of things. All sorts of things in the world.
Join us next week on The Third Space, where I'll be pretending to be Gilbert Gottfried the entire episode.
And I'll be Beyonce.
Oh my god, why would you do that? Until then, you're a cool person who lives in a cool place.